Loving God, may the words of my mouth, may the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your eyes. And God, may I never lightly presume to preach your word. And may we never lightly presume to hear your word. For in your word is abundant life. Amen. So this morning, we've managed to cover all the stuff left over from Christmas. We just had a song there about Herod and the slaughter of the innocents. We've sung about the coming of the Magi, which doesn't happen yet for another week. We've sung some songs that you probably didn't know were Christmas songs. We've got it all. We've done it. When you're done today, you can say, there, we've done all the Christmas stuff. But what's it supposed to mean? Christmas Day has come and gone. There were four services here on Christmas Eve Day. I was almost never home in any evening for the whole month of December. My wife still gets startled when she sees me. She thinks I'm some kind of stranger breaking in. Christmas Day, we got up early and we went to Peterborough to see my 96-year-old father-in-law and two of my brothers-in-law. And then back to Markham for dinner with my sister's house, with her kids, my parents, three of my five kids and partners. And then after that, we got home about 10:30 at night to find the missing son and his partner now arrived and ready to open Christmas gifts, because that's what you do. I think I hit bed about 1:30. And then the next couple of days were gloriously filled with various people sleeping in spare rooms, the living room, my office, people dropping by, and we ate. We ate like royalty. You know, the kind of royalty that gets gout and often becomes overweight between the holidays? That one. We laughed, we rejoiced, and then all too soon, it was over. And my wife, Anne, went back to work. Kids went home, and I was left to clean up. Totally worth it. After a couple hours of folding boxes and rolling up ribbon for next year, saving the good wrapping paper and then filling the blue boxes with the rest, soaking pans and vacuuming, steaming glasses and floors, and then checking emails and deleting all the ones that offered me one last chance to contribute, I decided it was time to go for a walk. And I know, it was cold, but I have a warm coat, and I have good gloves, and there's something about walking along the shore of Lake Ontario that always puts things into perspective for me. So I drove down to the shore at about 2 in the afternoon, and it was cold. Really cold by the water, but the sky was so blue and the sun was so bright. And I walked along the shore, surrounded by ice, ducks, and water, and snow, and animal footprints, and birds, and it quieted my mind and it filled my heart. It filled the parts left empty by the end of a celebration. You know, when the kids are gone and the event is over, there's a kind of relief, but there's also a longing for the fun that you had anticipating the event, participating, reveling. It's not a bad feeling, but it can be an empty feeling. Heart and mind at ease, I sat on a great big log, my feet on the cold, hard sand, and I looked out at the water. My cheeks were both warm and cold from wind and sun. And all felt right with the world. I didn't even hear him approach. He just sat down at the other end of the log and looked out at the water. It's beautiful, isn't it? Sure is, I said. It's beautiful and powerful and wide and deep and mysterious and yet so present. Like Christmas, he said. Yeah, I suppose, just like Christmas. And I knew who it was. I mean, he wasn't wearing sandals and robes. It was too cold for that. And when he spoke, his breath didn't surround his head like a halo or anything, but I knew. Sitting that close, listening to that voice, feeling my chest warm up and my breathing slow, I knew. The consolation of Israel. So, how are you? I asked. Because I really didn't know what else to say. It didn't seem the right time to quiz the Holy Emmanuel, God with us, on the difference between homoiousios and homoiousios and his preference for describing his substance, you know. So how are you was the best that I had. Pretty good. It's never fun to have your birthday the same day as Christmas, but what are you going to do? He made a face. How was it for you? It? Yeah, my birthday. How was it for you? Oh, it was great. Oh, we had a pageant at Jubilee in the morning, and the little girl that played Mary broke my heart. She was so great. And the angel with the black wings, and then Gabriel, and shepherds, and one little lamb. Oh, it was so much fun. And at 4:30, we had like 100 people come out for a kids' service. And Anne did it all like a godly plaything, and I got to sing and be foolish, which I hardly ever get to do. At 7:30, we were worried that snow would keep people away, but we still had way over 100 people. And Anne was funny, and she sang, and nobody seemed to notice that our cutout of an angel looked just like a bottle opener. And at 11 p.m., it was so intimate and holy that I didn't want it to end. So did they get it? Did who get what? The people. Did they get it? Did the people who came to Jubilee, did they get Christmas? Sure. I think so. Oh, they got community. They got Christmas carols. They got the story. I think some people were comforted and others were energized. Maybe some people challenged. I think we did a pretty good job all around. Like, did I mention that we had like 100 at the 4:30 kids' service? Norm, relax. Look out at the water. What did you say about it? Beautiful and powerful, wide and deep, mysterious and yet so present. Did they get that, Norm? Did they get that? I don't know. Maybe. I hope so. So what are you preaching on Sunday? Simeon. I'm going to preach on Simeon. Yeah. I really like that old man. Yeah, I thought I'd preach something light, you know, kind of fun, because like we'll be in our pajamas and stuff, you know. I'd share some last words. I'd probably put his words in Latin in the bulletin, because that'll look all fancy, but I'll preach in a bathrobe and you know, like last words. Are you going somewhere, Norm? No, I mean, Simeon's, like, final words. I thought I'd contrast them with some other famous last words. He looked at me. You know, George Gipp's final words. Someday, when things look real tough for Notre Dame, just ask the boys to go out and win one for the Gipper. Horatio Nelson, mortally wounded on board ship at the Battle of Trafalgar, is reputed to have said, "Thank God I have done my duty." Buddy Rich, the jazz drummer, spoke his last words to a nurse. She asked if there was anything he couldn't take, and he replied, "Country music." Pancho Villa, the Mexican revolutionary, lay dying, and he said, "Don't let it end like this. Tell them I said something." And Oscar Wilde, my personal favorite, is said to have uttered on his deathbed, having looked around his shabby Paris apartment, "Either the wallpaper goes or I go." He looked at me quizzically. "So you think Simeon's words are funny? Lord, now let your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen the salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel." Norm, there's no punchline. No, I know. See, that's what contrast is, right? You set up one thing to highlight how different the other thing is. It's a tool I use when I'm preaching. I start with something kind of dramatic, and then I shift to something funny. And that way, when hearts and imaginations of the congregation have been opened by emotion and laughter, I give them Simeon's words, his truth, his peace. He looked at me. Oh. So, if I started with a joke, then maybe the Sermon on the Mount would be more memorable? Well, no. I mean, everyone knows the Sermon on the Mount. And yet, Norm, no contrast, no jokes. I couldn't believe that he was actually picking on my preaching. I'm so glad that he wasn't on Facebook and didn't use Twitter. Norm, he said, I'm kidding you. I like your preaching. You make me laugh. Sometimes that does help the tough stuff get in. Simeon reminds me of you, you know. Really? Is it my beard? Does it make me look old? No, Norm, I mean, he got it. And you get it. I do? Sure you do. Simeon knew who I was the moment he saw me. And you knew who I was as soon as I sat down. And that's what you should preach. What? Think about it. How I knew it was you? Yeah. How you knew it was me. But that's not a sermon. I mean, that's barely even show and tell. Do they get it? Did they get it at Christmas? He stood up to leave. He took in a deep breath and he looked out over the water. And then he looked at me. Right at me. Right into me. And the cold was gone and I was nowhere and I was everywhere. Simeon got it. You get it. Make sure that they get it, too. Get what? He started to walk away. The truth, the heart, the meaning of Christmas, which is God happens here. Preach that. And he was gone. God happens here. That's what Simeon understood. After all the decorations have been taken down, after all the pageants and dinners, after the gifts and the carols, at the heart of it all, into the human condition, into our lives, in a manger 2,000 years ago, and right here today, the message of Christmas is that God happens here. So you and me, all of us, we can have hope because God happens here. We can be allied to love even when it's hard because God happens here. We all have a reason to live and no need to fear death because God happens here. And like Simeon, we can have real abiding peace because God happens here. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Loving God, in the midst of the stories and the traditions, in the midst of the wonderful and the crazy, let us remember this simple truth. God is with us. You are here. God happens here. In our lives, in this moment. And knowing that, God, let us be at peace. Let us not be afraid of our power. Let us be willing to love. And let us make 2018 even better than 2017. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.